The primary focus of the talk about Social Security has increasingly become how to strengthen the program's finances so no changes in structure or benefits need to be taken. However, this past week, what had been, let's call it a whisper by some over a few years, actually, became actual talking points by Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent. He sees a developing Trump financial program to be, in his words, a backdoor to privatizing Social Security. Joining us to examine this idea and what it would mean for you is the president of Social Security Works, Nancy Altman. Thanks for being here today, Nancy.
Thank you so much for having me.
SocialSecurityWorks.org, the website. We do have that link at our homepage. And like I referenced in the intro, Nancy, this is not the first time this idea has floated. I guess the last major attempt of it was George W. Bush, and that did not work out too well, did it?
No, it did not. He, after winning re-election in 2004, he announced a couple days later, even though he didn't run on it, that he was going to spend his political capital, which he gained, on privatizing Social Security. He was upfront about it, so to his credit, he was not trying to hide it, but as he talked about it and went around the country, it got more and more unpopular. So even though Republicans at that point controlled Congress just as they do today, he wasn't able to even get it for a vote. It's a bad idea. The American people recognized it, which is why now they talk about doing it backdoor so people don't really know what's going on. The Treasury Secretary, fortunately, said the quiet part out loud.
Now let's talk about what he's basing this on as a foundation for this transition, or although he backed off on it. I always say if you have to re-explain what you tried to explain, you probably probably explained it the first time really wrong. But be that as it may, there are these new tax-deferred investment accounts that they're putting together, baby checks for families that have kids. So he's trying to justify this in one regard as, well, these are tools to increase financial literacy so that we'll get more people investing. Well, we kind of have IRAs, 401ks, bank accounts, checking. The tool's already there. Why is this even being floated as something necessary, if not to replace Social Security?
Well, in fact, let me give you some context. And that is the last time that Congress acted on Social Security in a major way was back in 1983 when Ronald Reagan was president. They passed the bill that restored its long-range financial balance, which would have taken us to 2057. Everyone was celebrating, but there was a small group of people who hated Social Security, academics who met, and they wrote a paper called Towards a Leninist Strategy, Achieving Social Security Reform. Their idea was Social Security was too popular. They had to convince older people that nothing was going to change. They were going to get their benefits. Convince younger people that they would do better, that Social Security wouldn't be there for them, and they do better on their own investing in private accounts. That was the backdrop for President Bush seeking to privatize, and that's what's going on today. The idea is to undermine confidence. You have President Trump going around saying, yeah, there are 350-year-olds getting Social Security, which, of course, is nonsense. And you have, you know, all talk of, oh, fraud and waste when Social Security is extremely efficiently run, convincing young people, oh, it's going bankrupt, it won't be there for you, and hey, look how well you can do with private accounts. So it's the old playbook just dressed up in a new form.
You know, the whole idea of, well, if you know where to put your money in something, it'll grow, and they almost make it sound like a hands-off type of deal, and investing, successful investing, doesn't work that way. And I'm not talking day traders who manipulate stocks. I mean people who are serious about their long-term investing, and you have to pay attention. You have to have some awareness. Now, I'm not against ideas that will promote financial literacy. I think that's a great thing since our education system has really fallen short in that regard. But these ideas based upon the U.S. economy, Bessent said, you're investing in the U.S. economy. Well, what would happen if we have another 2008, 2009 to the U.S. economy? What would happen if we have another pandemic to the U.S. economy? I kind of think your investment in the U.S. economy would, what's the word I'm looking for, tank.
just as you might have to retire. Exactly. You know, savings are great, and everyone should save, but you also need basic insurance. You don't save in case you become disabled. There's disability insurance. You don't save to make, you know, if you have a car accident, you have car insurance, you have fire insurance. The same way, that's what Social Security is. It's insurance. It's an annuity that you get. You can outlive your savings, but you cannot outlive Social Security. The other point is that with Social Security, which is technically called a defined benefit plan, we all pool our risk. We all contribute. We all, so it's universal that way, and we all draw out. We're all insured. With private accounts, all the responsibility and all the risk lies on the individual. So, yeah, you can do great in the market. You can also crash in the market. And with Social Security, it's unlimited. You know, you don't have to draw your money. You've got all of us pooled together. But if you're turning 65 or 70 or 75 and you need that money and the stock market goes down, you know, people talked about in the 2008, you know, your 401k is turning into 201ks. Well, we don't want that with Social Security. Social Security works. We want to keep it strong, which we can do by requiring the wealthiest to pay their fair share. And if you are in the fortunate enough position that you can have savings on top of that, absolutely save, but do not substitute, because we all need Social Security.
So Nancy Altman, who's the president of Social Security Works, socialsecurityworks.org, their website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. I'm trying to imagine, too, because Bessette always said, as is trying to save the, clean up the mess that he made, that he's all in favor of, like you just said, having an investment account as well as a Social Security account. But if you're taking the younger people out of the contribution side of the process, then how are both going to exist, and how is one, Social Security, going to survive if you lessen or even eliminate any future paying into that fund?
Well, and in fact, I think you said it correctly. This was, clean up on aisle four.
Yeah.
You know, he said the quiet part out loud. This is backdoor privatization. We're going to get people used to private accounts so then we can tell them, hey, you're not going to get Social Security, but here, good for you, you'll get private accounts. And then when people screamed, he said, no, that's not what I meant. But that was exactly what he meant, because as you say, there's a place for both. It's not one or the other, but if you try to substitute, you will destroy Social Security. And that's what they want to do. You know, as polarized as the American people are, we're extremely united about Social Security. MAGA Republicans don't want to see it cut. Progressive Democrats don't want to see it cut. But there is what Republican President Dwight Eisenhower called a small splinter group. Unfortunately, that small splinter group is now that would like to get rid of Social Security. Unfortunately, that small splinter group is now in charge of the Republican Party. And that's why Treasury Secretary Bessent said what he said, really without, you know, thinking it was going to create the mess that it created. And then when he got called on it, he backed down. But that doesn't mean he didn't mean it when he said it.
We know that Bessent and many others in the administration and Trump himself, they're tight with the Wall Street crowd. And this is obviously a plan that would favor the Wall Street brokerages. And one of the darts that they throw at Social Security is, oh, there's massive fraud. You mentioned the fallacy about 300-year-olds getting checks. Gee, can we make a list of all the fraud we've seen just in like the last 5 years on Wall Street?
Yeah, in fact, it's so interesting. There is vanishingly small amount, even of improper payments in Social Security. It's something like 99.7% of payments are made accurately on time to the right people. But it's the point you made that there's about over $1 trillion that flows through Social Security every year. You know how much that goes in the pockets of Wall Street brokers? Zero. It's less than half a penny of every dollar is spent on administration. More than 99 cents goes out in benefits. And Wall Street would love to have some of that. And these people are so out of touch. Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick also recently said, oh, well, if people miss, only people who are fraudsters are going to complain if they miss their Social Security. You know, my mother-in-law, if she missed her Social Security, she wouldn't be upset. Well, yeah, her son-in-law is a billionaire. Most people don't have billionaire sons-in-law who can take care of them if they miss their Social Security. So they are really out of step. But the good news is that the American people get it. We're united. We all favor this program. We understand how valuable it is. The important part is for everyone to pay attention and make sure that these billionaires don't rob us.
Now, certainly, because just the sheer math of the matter, you go back in history, back in the 40s, there was 170 workers for every beneficiary. That number is now a single-digit ratio, if my stats are correct. And the fact, too, that Social Security only accounts for taking up 6% of the GDP, which is minuscule when you think of other spending. But nevertheless, more and more baby boomers are becoming eligible. What do you think, priority-wise, needs to be done to just shore up the fund past the, I guess, what's the latest drop-dead date, 2033?
Correct. So, and we should think of that as action-forcing. The Congress will definitely act. The only question is what they will do. So here's what I think should happen. First of all, Social Security is not only extremely valuable, it's strikingly superior to its private sector counterparts. Its one shortcoming is that its benefits are too low. So as important as solvency is, it's a means to an end. You know, you get rid of the program, there's no solvency issue, but of course, that's not the point. So I think benefits should be increased. And whether we, as you say, we're only talking about 5 or 6% of gross domestic product. Whether we increase or reduce benefits is a matter of values, not affordability, especially as more and more of the population is tilting towards is aging. So, but there is no question we are the wealthiest country in the world at the wealthiest moment in our history. It doesn't always feel that way because there's been so much income and wealth inequality. So what we should do is go and require those who have profited so unbelievably from the common good to contribute what most of us consider would be their fair share. So, for example, minimum wage workers contribute 6.2% of all of their income into Social Security, their wage income. If you had the very wealthiest contribute that same percentage, which they now don't do because there's a maximum, on not only their earned income but unearned income, you could expand benefits and make sure that all benefits could be paid for the foreseeable future. And that would also have the effect of reducing income and wealth inequality, which is very perilous and very destabilizing for the nation.
And it sounds, for you listening, I know it sounds like a high hill to climb, but it's really a simple process, a simple change that would just be based on fairness and honesty. But with favoritism and the elite taking care of the elite, that's why we're in the curious situation that we are right now. And I'm not going to say dangerous because I don't want to put any fear into you, but a lack of action would get us to a danger point, which we do not want with a program like Social Security. And to find out more about the organization Social Security Works and get the truth, too, as opposed to some of the slop that you see on social media about the Ponzi scheme, you know, the parroting what Musk said and what others in the MAGA movement say about Social Security. That's a great deal of that, by the way, comes out of fear that they're not going to get. Well, you sort of have to pay in to keep it alive for you to get in the future. And it's called working for a living, by the way. But to find out more about the truth, the facts, reality of the situation, SocialSecurityWorks.org, the website for the organization Social Security Works. Here's their president, Nancy Altman. Nancy, thank you for being a truth teller about a situation which a lot of people like to try to hide the truth about, and thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me.